Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 33 and 44 to 52. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it grows, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? Jesus asked. They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household, who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The kingdom of heaven is like. The simple little catchphrase marks the beginning of many of Jesus' parables. Parables are strange things. They're not really straightforward stories Jesus told, designed to spoon-feed us a simple message. Rather, they're sneaky little snippets of clever storytelling, crafted to make us stop and think, so that we might find our own path to the message within. There might even be a trick or two within these parables. But before we get to the tricky parts, I wanted to read to you a modern parable from a writer named Addy Zierman. This story is called, The Kingdom of God is Like a Squeaky Hamster Wheel. We accidentally on purpose got a hamster last week. His name is Hurley. We got the hamster because our boys kept catching moles that had gotten trapped in the egress windows. One son in particular had been devoted to creating habitats for these vile little critters with their sneering snouts and appetite for worms and grubs. So we struck a bargain, release Squeaky the Mole and we'll buy a hamster. Deal. Hurley the hamster is a cute little winter white from PetSmart, who looked so docile and sweet in his cage. But then we got the wheel. Do they make hamster wheels that don't squeak? If they exist, I have never met one. It starts right when we put the boys to bed at 7:30. Squeak, 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 the wheel goes as Hurley goes round and round. And it brings me straight back to my pink wallpaper childhood bedroom in my loft bed, where I lie at night staring at the ceiling while my own hamster, Sniffles, went squeak, squeak, squeak on his own wheel. At 10 o'clock when my husband and I turn off the living room lights and come upstairs to bed, it's still going, squeak, squeak, squeak. That little thing has to be running miles, my husband says, as we lie side by side in bed, listening. At 2 in the morning when I trundle out of bed to let the dog out, the hamster is still running. Squeak, 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 echoing through the middle of the night quiet. I can hear it perfectly from the kitchen, where I lean my head on the cold patio door, waiting for the dog to come back in. At 5 a.m., when my alarm goes off and I lie in bed, blinking into consciousness, It's that squeak, squeak, squeak that pulls me out of bed. Because once you start hearing it, it's all you can hear. It's relentless and impossible to ignore. And it's what I'm hearing when I open the prayer book and I read in the mornings. It's the song behind me when I speak into the morning dark, first part of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The hamster wheel squeaks, 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 and it occurs to me that the kingdom of God has been at work all this time. That when I'm asleep, when I'm distracted, when I'm unaware, it is still turning, turning, turning. God at work, always, in the world we created. Listen, I'm a whiz at believing that I'm the center of the living universe, that the world begins and ends with my to-do list, that if I stop holding it together, it will all fall apart. But in the dark morning, the hamster wheel turns, and I'm reminded of the ongoingness of it all. That as I sleep, the kingdom of God is growing and moving and changing everything, turning the world around. That we wake into a kingdom that is always already happening. The wheel squeaks its relentless song, and the sun rises a little bit at a time, and we are invited to step into the healing, non-stop current of kingdom living once again. Studying our scripture lesson this week and reading other parables and wisdom stories made me reflect and ask questions such as, where do we usually look for God? Where does society look for fulfillment or wisdom? And where are we not thinking to look? How can the kingdom of God be found in a mustard seed or buried in the dirt, in yeast for bread or a squeaky hamster wheel? These are such odd and diverse images for the kingdom of God. I bet if we did a straw poll and asked people where they looked for God, they would give such lovely examples as at church, in nature, in literature, music, and art, in kind deeds and good works. These are all valid examples of places to look for the presence and the wisdom of the Spirit. But what about God buried in the dirt? Fluffing up the bread, growing weed like in a field, or squeaking a wheel through the night. These are unusual places to look for God, aren't they? Normally, imagery of God is lofty, elevated, regal, not dirty, insidious, unrelenting, right? Well, this demonstrates the trickiness of the parables. Those parables that are not meant to hand us a little nugget of easily digestible pap. These are chunks of whole grain fiber to chew on. See, the parables have hidden meanings and nuances. The way that the stories are told are not necessarily portraying God's kingdom as all sparkle and sunshine. Take, for example, the mustard seed. This tiniest of seeds, when planted, will grow into a very large bushy plant. It is an insidious grower. It is not a plant that people wanted accidentally planted into their fields. It can take over like a weed. The kingdom of God is like a weed. Makes me rethink that hymn. A mighty mustard bush is our God. Not the way we usually sing it. This isn't exactly flattering spiritual imagery. In fact, there were religious problems in making this comparison, according to Richard Swanson. Living a Jewish life meant living a life that witnesses to the stable and orderly love of God in all things. Planting a weed that was a symbol of wild disorder was judged to be an unnecessary compromise of the basic principles of Jewish life. Likewise, take the example of yeast in bread dough. Bread was and is the mainstay of Middle Eastern cuisine. As you probably know, Middle Eastern bread is not like our usual bread dough. It is usually unleavened, flatbread made without yeast. The imagery of yeast in the bread of Jesus' time was not a desirable one. People of Jesus' culture would have considered yeast in their bread to be unclean or corrupting. And this image of the yeast permeating the bread dough would be undesirable. Just like the hamster wheel, squeak, squeak, squeaking through the night, God is always there, little by little, creeping into your consciousness or spreading into your safe, quiet places. Or maybe you have to dig in the dirt to find the kingdom of God. Maybe it's buried deep in the muck and the filth, mixed in with dead plant matter and a load of fertilizer. This is the imagery that came to my mind when I was considering the kingdom of God this week. A dirty, mucky, but incredibly valuable buried treasure. Imagine plowing through your big field or garden, working the soil, toiling in the heat. You can't imagine that vividly this month, toiling in the heat. When suddenly, clank, your pitchfork or your till bangs into something hard. You sigh. It's probably a big rock you'll have to dig out and carry away. And you loosen the dirt around it. You dig a bit further and realize it's not a rock. Keep digging, and you discover it's a container sealed up tight. You pull it out and shake all of the dirt away, pry it open to find, wow, more valuables in one place than you can ever imagine. There, buried in the gunk and mud. How did that get there? Sometimes the kingdom of God is buried in the gunk and mud of life. Theologian Barbara Brown Taylor observes that the hiddenness of the reign of God in these stories, all of them, and what that hiddenness may teach us about our own seeking, is that in the most ordinary, everyday things and experiences are clues to the holiness hidden in the dullness of our days. It is possible that God decided to hide the kingdom of heaven not in any of the extraordinary places that treasure hunters would be sure to check, but in the last place that any of us would think to look, namely in the ordinary, dirty circumstances of our everyday lives. These parables are stories told by Jesus from and for the underside of humanity, the poor, the outcast, the oppressed. These are parables for those everyday folks who faced and still face extreme religious prejudice, for women devalued by patriarchy, for an impoverished majority living a primarily subsistence life. These parables are for those who were not welcome in the inner sanctums of Jewish temples or the higher courts of the Roman Empire at the time. These parables were stories for the ones who were on the fringes, the unaccepted, the judged, the ridiculed, the ignored. Our unaccepted, judged, ridiculed, and ignored. These stories were and are telling all who would take the time to decipher them that the kingdom of God is not about having the best lifestyle, the most riches, or the highest education. It is not about being well-respected or even well-liked. It is about the last becoming first. It is about digging through the muck and dirt and manure of life to find God's treasure. It is about a mighty weed that shelters tiny birds, or small grains of yeast that make for puffy loaves of bread that can feed many. As the poet Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the invariable mark of wisdom is to see the miraculous in the common. These parable stories are about finding the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God in the most unlikely of places. These stories are about digging deep, listening to not just the words of the story, but to the meaning within. Digging deep into our own souls to mine out the wisdom of God that has been there all along. These stories are about digging deep into the muck of humanity, to find the glory of God in our ordinary existence. As a Sufi wisdom saying goes, your own heart is the living place of the universe's essence. The treasure of joy is closer to you than you are to yourself. So why should you go searching from door to door? We come now to God in prayer.